told you something today.
Well, it's related. I might learn something.
But it is about both of you too, because you're both you were both born in the village.
I know we were, but Peter knows all this side. Because I don't know.
We're both born in the village.
Scotland.
We're the oldest married.
We're about Chitten, don't we?
Well, I should go.
There's a Chitten now.
Oh, you live at Chitten, do you?
I live. Sure you used to.
I live.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's where Alfie Shaw lived, is it?
Because I had Betty Hall, I realised, lived opposite.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're in Chitten Farm Cottage, right next door to the farmyard.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
We're Alf and Alice.
It's lovely.
Hey?
We're Alf and Alice.
Yeah.
And Alfie and Molly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Betty lived in Lower Chitten.
Lower Chitten in the
what's
cottage.
Now called Foggy Bottom. Or one half of what's called Foggy Bottom.
Oh, did you? Right. I thought, because Lower Chitten Farmhouse, I hear, is on the market again.
Is it?
Yeah, which is sad, really. Because they're a really nice couple. You may not have met them, but they're not farming folk, but they're really, really sweet.
And of course you miss them, don't you? If you've got good neighbours, you've got everything.
Yes, you have. You're right. In a small hamlet like that, although we don't necessarily see one another every day, we always keep our eye out for each other.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I think is a good thing. Because when you're like that, and you're just that little bit apart, you think, is there anything going on? You've got your eyesight, haven't you? If they're away, you know.
You know what? Yes.
I better let these get on and do what they're doing.
Right.
Do you tell me what you want to know, and I'll tell you if I know anything about it. Or what you want to do.
Well, look, shall I start at the ball rolling?
Yeah.
You're going to tell us a bit about football. When you played football?
Me?
Oh, gosh, that's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we want to go back a long time.
Yeah.
But when you were young?
When I was very young.
You played for the Hambledon Club, didn't you?
Yeah, I played for Hambledon Club, yeah, and so.
You played just out here?
Yeah, I played out here lots of times, yeah. Yeah, and I've played for the school as well, like, you know.
Oh,
I represented the school, not Hamilton School, Cape Lane School.
Cape Lane School.
1930, 37, 38, something like that.
Yeah.
And out here, in your field here, played there. But one played then, that was more towards the end, but the first part where Hamilton Football Club played before I played was the back of South End Garage where you live now.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You know, the bottom
half. Something else I've never heard of before.
The back end of the hillside, you know, where Lakes lives.
Yep.
That flat piece there was there. They used to play there in the 1930s, yeah, quite a while.
Right.
Yeah. But Peter never used to play.
I never played them, it was before my time. But I always remember one chap named Hooker broke his leg out there. And they took one of the gates off and led him on a gate and carried him out to the ambulance. I can always remember that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good memories, Peter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got a reasonable memory, but.
Yeah. But anyway, you played.
Yeah, I played Eddie regular, yeah, yeah.
And that was in the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in the 50s more, yeah. But did you want to know about that, did you?
Anything,
just, you should go back.
Yes, just keep on talking, it's amazing.
Where were you fixed for time?
Yes, have you got to rush off somewhere?
No, we got. Dave's coming, that's all of it.
Oh, right.
We've had the family this morning with the two great-grandchildren and the two little boys.
I'll tell you about down here. Ron Baker was the.
Ron Baker?
He was a, you know, the.
Ron Baker second. Was the landlord of the New Inn at Hamilton at the time.
Oh.
And he hosted a number of things like.
Yeah.
The cricket and the football club.
It sounds as though that was that the sort of place where they had a lot of the results boards and things.
Yeah, they had a team sheet put up.
Yeah, that's what I think I picked that up from somebody else.
Yes, this is what you said. You must probably got a lot.
Yeah, Ron Baker, Peter Faulkner, gave them a changing room, and they asked me if they could put it in your field between where at the bottom of the field.
Your garden.
Yeah, and they put it in there. And Ron Biker got a crane or something from Faulkner's, and he let them borrow it, and they carried it and put it out there, didn't they?
Right. Faulkner's were a big building company in Waterville, Pat.
Right.
And Peter Faulkner was a very keen footballer himself.
And a cricketer, yeah.
And cricketer. And had a lot to do with Waterville Football Club and the Waterville Football Club ground.
Hmm.
Okay. Ron Baker, that we've referred to, worked for the Faulkners.
Oh.
And it was through his association with the Faulkners that they had an old shipping container, which the Faulkner's got a crane to put into the field here as a changing room. And things were primitive in the 50s. No one had much money.
No, but resourceful. Mm. Wow.
You're keeping up all right?
Just about. I shall have to remember it all and work it back when I get home. Wow.
This will be about 1950, and I used to be the ball boy. I used to pump the balls and supply. That was my job. Clean up the balls after the match and pump them up ready for the match down here, like, you know. Yeah.
You were actually living here then?
Yeah, I was living in here, yeah.
Where were you born, Peter?
Next door.
You were, so you were right.
Well, next door but one now, because, you know, we had both colleges.
That was when there were just two little cottages in
there. Yeah, two little colleges, nothing like they are now.
So what was the house called?
Never had no name.
Never had a name, okay.
Not that I know.
And where were you born, Betty?
I was born at Scotland Farm.
Oh, right, up where the Sylvesters are.
That's Glidden Farm, isn't it?
Isn't Scotland farm further on? I was going to say, isn't it further on past where...
Where Lois... I forgot what her name is now.
What?
Lois lives.
Oh, King. Yes.
Lois King.
Oh, yes. I saw Sue this morning, Sue Sylvester. She's got the last sort of dairy herd.
That's right, yeah.
And so I went up to see her, and I was so impressed by all them automated dairy. I can't believe what they can do now.
Yeah, well, it is. It's fantastic. And you can't believe how... When the cows all go in, and they jolly well put the things on to milk them, and then when it's done, they're walking out. I've watched it on the telly.
I tell you the other thing that I thought was fascinating. I'm teaching grandmother suck eggs now. The cow comes in with this bracelet on its leg, and that when it goes into its stall to be milked, that is computer organised, and up comes on a screen... the rations that cow needs to have, that particular cow. So when it's eating out of its bowl, coming down from somewhere here in a hopper, is the food balance that it needs? Has it just had a calf? Does it need this? Does it need that? And also underneath comes up, has it had any vaccinations? Has it had any antibiotics? It all comes up on this screen.
You can't believe that, can you?
No, I can. It's a bit different than the bucket plant down the road where you used to bottle milk.
Yeah.
I say, things have changed a bit since then.
Well, look at that. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I got down here about milk delivery in the authorities. Oh, right. Yeah.
What? Tell me about that.
Well, there were two farms in England. Jim Hudson... had cows.
That's across the road at Snowdrop Cottage.
Snowdrop Cottage now. His name was Jim Hudson.
He only had a few cows, didn't he?
Yeah, he just had a few cows. Mm. And he supplied milk to this area of Amberley. Now, I don't know how far up his name was, but he had a ladle. He had a big... They come round in the morning with a big bucket under the arm and a ladle hung over the top of the bucket... with a pint measurement, and knock the door, and Mum would come and say, I'll have a pint today, please, and then he'd dish out a pint of muck, tip it into a jug for Mum, then went on to the next one. And that happened up at the other end of the village, a boy named Buxy did it up there.
Buxy, that rings a bell.
Yeah,
they were at Whitedale Farm.
No. Buxy, this was done from the farm, right opposite the New Inn, going up Vicarage Lane.
Oh, right.
There were some cow sheds at the back. No. Other side of the road, there was some sheds. Do you know where you go up the alley?
Yes.
You know the alley? Well, they used to back onto the alley, these cow sheds were, and they used to do exactly the same up there, serve milk the same up there in the 30s.
So would they have divided the village?
No, they didn't divide the village, but because I was only young then, but I didn't know how far they went, but I knew that there, and a bloke used to deliver the same thing up there, named Bats, his name was. He used to take the milk round for Buxies, doing the same thing with a ladle in the 30s.
Right.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, you must remember Stella and Fred Blackman, can't you?
Yes.
Stella and Fred Blackman, yeah.
Yeah. You know, go and remember their little...
So with Stella, I should have bought that photograph with me. You're talking about Stella Peters, aren't
you? Yeah, yeah.
Now, she, bless her, before she died, we'd just arrived in Chitten.
Yeah.
And we went over to see her with her granddaughter. And they'd found a picture in a suitcase of... her right outside our cottage with the Blackman van and Blackman written on it and a picture of her.
That was R&S Blackman.
Yeah.
Reg and Stella.
Reg and Stella, yeah.
Reg was my mother's first husband before he died.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, she was, yeah.
Oh, the first one to sell bottling milk, weren't they, around here? They bottled it, didn't they? They had a bottle, didn't they?
They bottled it at Chitten, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. They were the first ones to
do it,
yeah.
And they used to deliver it with a motorbike and sidecar,
yeah,
I understand.
That's right, that's yeah, motorbike and sidecar, yeah. I can remember that.
Sidecar.
Was that the first bottling at Chitten?
Yeah, that was the first thought. Then afterwards, Strade started up. Then at Bittles Farm.
How did that
they come? Delivered milk, and they delivered it with a three-wheeler with a big box on the front. And it's to lift the front up, and all the milk was in there. And a bloke named Blanchard used to deliver that, and he lived in Church Lane.
That wasn't that picture, was it? No, that wasn't that, was it? That's just ice creams, isn't it? That wasn't the three-wheeler.
I know that. Yeah, that used to come round on the weekends, that, yeah. No, that, yeah, it was similar to that, but in lift the front up, made it all in, and then Charlie Clay come in opposite and doing it, didn't he? Up Russell, didn't he?
How did he?
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah, because Strades was
down
there first, weren't they?
Then?
Strades used to do it.
Before my time,
back. Yeah. the people who was doing that at Bittles Farm was Strades, the name
Strads,
was.
Strads, I've written that. Yeah. Strads at Bittles, three-wheeler box.
Yeah, well, the delivery chap was named Blanchard.
Your dad was down there with
Well, he was a young lad.
He
joined the militia in 1939, when he was the first ones to be called up.
How can you remember all these dates?
Yeah, well, I've been to London all my life. Never been anywhere else.
But I can't remember when I last...
I know some
yeah.
Right, Charlie Clay was Rushmere Farm.
Yeah.
He was also a producer, retailer, obviously.
Yeah. Mm. And now he was the owner of the cafe in Amberlin. In the tea shop.
What, the copper kettle? Yeah. Not the copper kettle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the copper kettle.
It was the copper kettle. No,
Knight's Corner there.
One called Copper Kettle.
Yeah,
there.
Did
have
a
cafe there. He owned that, and they did teas and coffees and that for the charabangs that come out weekends and all that. Yeah. And they sold sweets in there as well. Yeah. The bars of sweets and that.
Yeah, Gladys used to work.
Gladys
there,
used to work.
Where did she?
She worked on the land after all the war.
Who's Gladys?
Well,
who's...
that's my sister. She's dead now, you know.
She's... Oh, no.
Pardon.
Yeah.
Because when the German plane come down, I put some.
When a German plane, when a British plane crashed up and up the back of my hand, it blew all to pieces and landed in Charlie Clay Field that area.
Somewhere up near the...
By that big oak tree, going up round towards Skiddenden. And there was a... And when I went up there, engines was blown from here to the bottom of our garden out of the plane. When Charlie Clay went up there, he found a thermos flask that didn't get broken. Unbelievable. And that flask was used... My sister worked for Charlie Clay, and she used to see the chicken and all that around the farm and that. Yeah. And she had them, when they went harvesting, instead of packing up, like cutting the corn and that, she used to, with that flask, she filled all the rest of the war, filled it up with tea and that, to take up to the workmen.
Where did this plane crash? This wasn't the one that crashed near Chidden.
No, that's different.
Is that a different one? Okay.
This is up near the oak tree.
Yeah.
If you're going up to Glidden.
Yeah, Glidden.
The big oak tree on the right hand side.
Yeah, yeah. In the corner of the field there.
On the last bend, Pat. the last right-hand bend before you get to Clinton, there's a big oak tree, and there's a track which goes across the fields to Brushmead. Is that right?
Yeah. Goes across, comes across that track to Brushmead, don't it? Halfway down Rushmead Lane, like, don't it?
Yeah. Well, towards Pitt Hill.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a crew of five Canadians killed there. Everyone was dead. Like, you know, they were about that long. They burnt. Like, the men were so strong that they were that
terrible.
Long. Yeah, and you know they yeah. And when I was working on a roof in the beginning of the war, doing a roof in the Green Men Corner, and this plane come down and it whirled down. It was a foggy morning, and I could see it. I thought it was going to crash on the village, and it sort of saw at the last second it shot away and down like that. And of course, me and Bill Banting got off the roof, tore up, and we thought we were going to be the first ones. And there was people coming out the top of LEO, like everywhere looking to see what like that. There's no survivors, like.
But the thing is,
but the biggest funny story about probably nobody else knows this story about this thermos flask, what they're drinking. And they took off from Thorny, that's where they're taking off from. They had an inquest on them, that, like, afterwards, you know, the Observer for. People, they had to go to the inquest on it, you know.
So Bill Banting was Fred Bill's son, or where are we going?
No, Fred Banting's brother, wasn't he?
Yeah, Fred Banting, yeah. Mm. Yeah, but, of course, and then there was another plane come down in that field, you know. The other end of that track, there was a Spitfire come down.
What, the lower end?
Lower end, you know, Rushmere end, like.
Rushmere end, yeah.
And it trimmed the top of the beech tree off. There was a bit of wood running down a bit lower. It come down, and it trimmed it off. And all it was, the German shot this Spitfire down. And all the damage to this Spitfire was one hole through the petrol feed. It went straight through the petrol and lost. It come down because it couldn't get back to base, like, because the fuel was leaking so much. And the bloke never got hurt or nothing, like, but they had a guard out. We used to go out as kids and look, you know, young.
How old were you then?
I'd be about 15 then, or 16. Well, I was called up at 18, 44.
Yeah.
Hmm. I thought you really only wanted to know about the 30s, you know.
I want everything. This is so exciting.
And
Pat asked me questions about, well, the 50s.
Yeah.
And I told her a bit that I knew. And then she said, is there anyone else around that would know about some of these things? And perhaps a bit further back. Saw you a couple of times.
There are still some people who were born in Hambledon, like Ina.
Yeah, and Ina down there.
He's younger than you, and he's actually left the village now. But Brian Smith, who lives in Chin, he's moved now.
Yeah, but he's on a nipper ridge.
Well, he's younger than I am.
Well, he's not as old as you, John, is he?
He's gone again now, isn't he?
Yes, he has. I think he's gone to Havant.
Has he?
I think he's gone to Havant.
No, somebody told me Horndean.
You're right.
I saw him only a few days ago.
Oh, well, tell him to ring me up, because he's got... That was something else that was interesting, in the sense that I got chatting to... No, I'm going to have to look her up in a minute. A baker who used to live in Stewart's Green.
Yeah.
And her granddaughter, Julie Attell, now lives in Mrs. Baker's.
Bob Baker's.
Yes.
Bob Maud, wasn't it?
Or Vi. Was it?
Vi.
Yeah, Vi.
Bob
and Vi. Vi.
Granddaughter's moved back then now.
So she's now living in Granny's house.
Oh, is she?
So I rang her up on the off chance to see whether she could give me some information. And she said, oh, the person you need to talk to are the Clays.
Hmm.
Not so I then said, she said, well, the person who's got quite a lot of history is living in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
So I then said to her, well, it wouldn't be right for me to contact her because she might not want to talk to me, but you can give her my address, my email address, and she can come and contact me. And within half an hour from Australia, I'd got an email from Janice Clay.
That's it, Janice.
Yeah.
And then we learned then that they were coming over earlier this year to have, one of them was having their marriage vows renewed.
I don't know, I thought Janice wasn't married.
Somebody, I've left my file at home, so I'm doing this from memory.
No, that's all
but
I know.
But it was extraordinary, and that all came from one email that there was about six people, more, maybe more. And that was how I got on to Brian, because Brian was distantly related.
Yeah.
So it's wheels within wheels, and it just takes you off on another...
Yeah, well, of course it does. That's it, because then in the 30s, and that everybody was relation to everybody else.
Yes. Yes.
You're well, like, oh, that's a some relation, and that's some... Like, that. Said, well, of course, like, no.
I would think Clays and Parvins and well... was the most common name in the 30s in Amberley. Parvins was. I'm the only one left in Parvins now in Amberley.
But there's
loads of Parvins when I was there.
What's the link between Parvin and at least I think there's a link between Parvin and Bob Beagley? No?
We know Bob Beagley very well.
But not a family link?
No family link.
Were you related to Stan and Ron Parvin?
Yeah, your cousins.
Your cousins, were they? Right.
Yeah, Stan Parvin's still alive and he's older than me.
Is he?
Mm. He's still alive.
He was in the Navy, I seem to remember.
Yeah, he'd done his time in the Navy, like, yeah. He was a boy sailor to start with. He went to, you know, they were like, he went away for 5 years during the war. He was away for 5 years on a truck in a ship, like, yeah.
But he's in Ireland, isn't he?
No, he married in Ireland. Now he lives down in Dorset somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I tell you how we know that, because the thing is he contacted our John. We don't know how it was, because they was doing the family tree.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And he wanted to know something from him. That's how we knew that he was still alive, or else we wouldn't have done, you know. Mm-hmm. John said.
Bob Bigley knows more about him.
Bob knows quite a lot about John.
Because I did bring one or two photographs, so I'm sure you've seen all these, but I just bought them just to show you. But do you remember all that, these?
All the photos of the...
That's
just a note.
I can't see this.
You can't see it.
Well, I'm in this one somewhere.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. This one. Oh, yeah, this is them. We got a lot of photos of them.
We got lots of these photos somewhere.
That one's later than what we've got.
I don't know whether there's a date on there, because I went to see Mavis Humphrey.
Oh, yeah.
And that's her picture. I think she might have tried to get...
I can't see it very well, but...
No, it's not very clear.
No, but I took part in all those in the 50s, those matches, like, you know, playing cricket.
Like. Yeah, and you were playing rather than an umpire?
No, I'm playing, yeah.
Yeah, we know nearly all these on here. Peter, you know nearly all these on here.
See, I'll see that one better.
I think that was one when Mavis said about the new inn, because I think Mavis used to score.
Marion Bigley.
Marion Bigley, Bob's sister, used to be a scorer.
Right.
Yeah.
Then she must have played some part, because I can remember it was Mavis told me about the new inn. She used to go down to the new inn to work out where they were going to play and where she'd got to turn up for the matches.
I don't recall Mavis being associated with the cricket.
I can't remember that. But she might have been. We don't know. She might have been quite young, because don't forget that... Ida Barrett, she was associated with it, wasn't she? And she
used to do the teas, didn't she?
Mm.
That would be aunt, wouldn't it? Ida Barrett would have been Mavis's aunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
right,
that's
yeah.
Well, I wondered if there was a connection, if she might have went with her when she was younger, because she had a lot to do with the... always was at the cricket thing, she was.
Because that in the Paris magazine, that... chap, they didn't know who it was. I knew who it was straight away, like, you know, that John Sutcliffe, that man. You know, they had a photo of Amberley.
There was a photograph in the magazine.
In the previous one, or this one?
I'm not sure.
No, last, a couple of months.
I was asking the people to try and identify who there were in the photograph.
Mm.
And there was one, I think he had a beard, didn't he, Peter?
No, I don't think so. He had a false beard.
A false beard.
His name was John Sutcliffe, and he was a farm student. He was a farm student for learning farm management with Tom Parker, like, you know.
Oh, was he?
He stayed about 2 or 3 years here, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he went to, he used to lodge up to Church Lane with a woman named Moon.
Can you remember Mrs. Moon?
Okay. Just about, yeah.
Yes, up the corner up there. Yeah.
You won't remember this lady, Moon. Not that Moon. I wouldn't think
but
so.
Where in relation to Stella, who's the only person I knew Stella and Ken, but is that a...
No, yeah, they'd be a bit related to Ken Moon, they would be. She would probably be Ken Moon's auntie, I would think. I don't think she was married, but she used to take lodgers in and that, like, you know. And he lodged up there, and then he'd go up to work to Tom Parker all day, and he used to come in the new inn with us, like, and play darts and that, like, you know. But that's who that bloke was, the unknown person. That's who it was, John Sutcliffe, he was.
Right.
He come from the Midlands. Lived in the Midlands.
Oh, I can report that back to...
He was only there by default in the photograph, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. There was a little bit of argument about it. One or two of the regulars, he'd only just joined the club. And, you know, I don't know how he got in there, but he got picked, like, you know, in front of some of the other... One bowler, I won't say who it was, because another bowler...
You always get a little bit of argument. Yeah. Why hadn't I been picked? Why should
I got picked. I played in that, like, you know, I was in it. Like, but why he didn't, you know, why he got picked, so just being a light.
He can't remember that.
I don't know. I'm not saying too much about that. I don't know who introduced him. I got a good idea who it was. But...
Anyway, go on then. But what else you've got to talk about?
Yes, you do your bit, because you've obviously done
Do you want to know where the shops were in Amberlin those days, the name of the people that owned them?
I would love to know, because...
Well, if we start out the end... Have you... Look, the shops... The first one, we'll start up by Benton Shop. Sarah May's was the first shop.
Who? Sarah?
Sarah May.
And that is where...
We're
up by Banting's now, are
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
That's Burnley Cottage as it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, where the doctor, Rufus Stewart, lives now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she sold, you go out the passageway, on the right she sold cigarettes, tobacco and sweets and all that. On the right-hand side, there was another room. She sold gents' clothes, suits, and
you're right.
Yeah. And £2 a suit, I think. My three-piece suit for £2.
What year are we in now, Peter?
Oh, I wouldn't know what year, roughly. I was saying about 1934, 35.
Did she take coupons?
£2 a suit.
I'll tell you what.
They used to sell vegetables in there anyway, wouldn't they? Because I know once when I came home from school, I said to him, "Can I have a cauliflower, please?" And he said, "Sorry, I haven't got any." But of course, it wasn't a cauliflower he called me. So I said, "Yes, you have. There's some there. Look, and I want one." So he said, "No, you can't have that because that's not a cauliflower." It was
he was a funny old man.
Yeah, broccoli. He said, "You're a country girl, and don't know anything."
She lived there. She lived there with her. She lived there with her brother.
Yeah.
And he used to run a carrier business to Petersfield.
What was his name?
His name was May. It was obviously May, but Fred May was this one.
No, Fred May was the other
one. Yeah, I'll tell you before we go. I can't think what his name was.
But he had a carrier business, did you say?
Yeah, he had a carrier business to Petersfield.
Yeah, so that's Sarah.
And coming down the road farther was the bakehouse, which I expect you know about, Beams. Yeah. That was Wilkins them days in the 30s.
It was who?
Wilkins. And he used to keep the old man Wilkins... He was to stand outside there and with a quart bottle. And he kept one, he could wait till some nippers come down the road. He had loads of boys of his own, but they would, and then he asked them to go down and give them a quart of beer into the George. And whoever, he caught me one day, I did it once, and he was giving two tuppence for it, and that was a lot of money.
Like,
tuppence
was a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, and he used to have a quart of beer, a draft beer, and I suppose he drank that while he was cooking at night in that, in the bakehouse. I don't know what he did with it. But
can you remember?
I can remember the bakehouse, though.
Oh, Mr. Wilkins, can you remember him?
Yeah. No.
Oh, he was always so pale.
What was he immediately before Beams?
Yeah, he was before Beams, yeah. They never owned it, they rented it.
No. Was there anyone else between Wilkins and Beams? Because I can just about remember it before the Beatles came there.
Yeah, it was Wilkins. It had nobody between. I don't think it was, any. I'm not sure.
There was somebody there before Wilkins, but I don't know.
Yeah, and then coming down the road farther, there was a chemist shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it only survived 1 year. It was a chemist shop. It got all filled up with stuff, and then it went.
Where is that? Somewhere near Bristol?
Opposite where old Dr. Millard lives now.
By the forge.
Yeah, by the forge, yeah.
Oh, by the forge.
Mm. Yeah. And but it only lasted 1 year. It was a harness shop before, you know, harness making shop before, like, you know, doing, you know, horse collars and, you know, repairs and that. But it only lasted 1 year. I don't know why it dropped out.
Mm.
And then the next shop then was Bulls.
Bruce Bulls.
Bruce Bulls, yeah. Well, it was George Bull was the owner, like, you know.
What was that?
That was a grocer shop.
And sold
fruit
and all that.
And, yeah, they sold, yeah.
I wonder what the name of that house is now.
Oh, I don't know now. I don't got her now. I'm not really sure.
That later became the surgery.
Yeah, that's it. This is what I was going to say later.
Yeah. That was where the where Briggs was. Bulls was, wasn't it? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's handled on the side of St Agatha's and St Margaret's.
Oh, right.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, it's quite... God, I can't think of the name of the...
Do you know where Dr Miller lives?
Yes, well, Cartreef.
Yeah, right
next to Cartreef.
Yeah, right opposite there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
opposite there.
Yeah. And the next shop down in the 30s was Samwise. That's where Wallace's was. Samwise, Miss Samwise. Mrs. Samwise owned it then.
You can remember.
No, she's your relation to Mrs. Wallace.
Yeah, because George Wallace married one of her daughters, look, and that's how it became Wallace's.
Mrs. Wallace was a Samwise.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Can you remember Miss Samwise? Because she taught at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was 5 years old, she taught at school.
Yeah.
Didn't teach me very much, though.
Too much.
What did
Samways sell?
They sold sweets and sweets.
There were a lot of sweet shops in Hamilton.
Yeah, and then the next one down was Gillam's. They were clothing, you know, women's clothes. Drapers, that's the word. Gillam's.
Gillam's.
I don't know how to spell it.
No, that's all right. Doesn't matter.
IT.
Yeah, and the next shop down was Paul's.
No, wait a minute.
Oh.
Just a minute.
Yeah.
You've gone past London Alley and the Village Hall.
London Alley was Gillam's.
Sorry? Hey?
Gillam's shop was London Alley.
Yeah.
London House.
London House, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got London Alley.
What do you call London Alley? Going up to the old...
The old Village Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, the old Village Hall?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that
kind of... Yeah, but I don't... There was no shop up there.
No.
I was just doing retail.
There was
just
a Village Hall up there.
I know where you are.
The Village Hall used to be used as tea rooms, didn't it, by...
Oh, yeah.
Samways.
No, never in my lifetime. No.
Didn't it?
No.
Oh, perhaps I got that wrong, then.
No, don't know that at all. Don't know that. They used to have dance halls and concerts now.
Wasn't that in the George, the dance room upstairs?
There was a dance hall in Red House. Before Red House was built.
There was a picture that came up.
No, not before it was built.
That picture you're thinking about, I think, is what Peter's talking about. Behind Red House.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I know that. I can tell you about that if you want to know about that. Like, you know, but
that's what's the dance.
I just putting down what I remember at the time. Like,
yes, no.
You've obviously been racking your brains and put it on paper, have you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well done, you.
Why? I said to listen, put it on paper. You won't remember.
So you've done.
Next one down was Pools. That was where Greenwood was. Pools.
You know.
And he used to do hair cutting.
Where
John Thornton lives.
Yes.
No, it was John Thornton. One day where Greenwood was. It Paul's was Will Greenwood used to be. Paul's Dot, Will Greenwood shop used
Dot
to be.
Dot Greenwood.
Sorry?
Dot Greenwood?
Yeah. Dot Greenwood now lives in Spaltham Hill.
Yes. Yeah,
she was at the
she
garage.
She was at the garage, wasn't
yeah.
she?
With Tom, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that the bloke that had it before them in the authorities was named Poole.
Poole.
And he used to do hair cutting. And he's just a shave on there. And my dad took me up when I was a nipper. And they sit round there and he'd shave him with a cutthroat razor, give him a haircut, and I think it was sixpence. And perhaps if he was in a good mood, they could tuck me a packet of five Woodbines as well. And then there was a crowd of them sitting there around doing it though. Yeah. He used to cut the hair and that. But he was a miserable old sod, he was. We've got the field.
He done his work there, Peter.
No, I tell you, he used to sit up the top there, back of your field area, you know, in that crop where he was going to go, it's down with a horse cut over there. And he wouldn't let you get by, you know. He'd sit there with a gun, and he wouldn't let us nippers get by. He'd turn us back. Wow, you know.
Was Paul's a garage then, as well as hair?
No.
There wouldn't have been many cars in those days.
No, they
started to sell petrol in cans. Would they have sold petrol in cans at that time?
They sold petrol from... There was petrol pumps on the roadside there.
Petrol pumps on the roadside?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Mm. Now, I can't remember where Paul's at or not, but there was petrol pump. And the tanks was inside that showroom there.
Yeah. Mm. Gosh. No, there was in Tom Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you had to build the milk van up there, wouldn't it?
After Paul's, where what?
And then there was Dagty's, that was the grocer's. Now, one half of them sold at a clothing shop, you know.
Yeah.
Doughty's. When you looking down from Spaltham Hill, straight, another bit to the right-hand side,
yep.
That was a clothing shop. You went in that side for it. But the rest, going out in the corner shop where Dusty goes into his insurance company place now, that was a grocer's side of it, like.
Yep.
But the other side was clothing, like.
You can remember that, can't you?
I can remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
did you get the gist of that?
And both our sons... But both her sons got killed in air crashes.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. She never got over it.
Aww.
They both got killed in... One got killed in Canada training. And he was only one of five people that was ever killed in Canada training.
Aww.
With the RAF.
Right.
Yeah. And they got a big monument out of it, you know.
Mm.
Old General Butler come and asked me all about, did I know anything about the Dady Pope? Yeah, when he was a baby.
Apparently there's an awful lot of information at the Butler's house, and I don't know how to get hold of it, really, because I think his wife is still is very poorly.
Yeah, but one of the sons lives at her now, you know.
Oh, does
no,
he?
No.
Oh, don't you know
anymore?
Any there now?
He lives up at Mercury now in one of the new houses.
Oh, do we? Oh, yeah.
Oh, but we could still get hold of him then, could we? There's been no family fallout or anything. We could still get hold of him?
Well, I'm sure you could, yes.
Anyway.
But Hannah, the daughter, General Butler's daughter, is the only one with any close contact,
okay.
as far as I know.
Well, she's the one that owns King's Rest, isn't it? The daughter.
Yeah, she owns King's Rest, that's right.
Yeah, because I can't understand why she...
You know about Langtree, don't you?
I know that,
yes, that's the butcher.
Yeah, and Cutmaster the butcher, don't you?
Yes.
Then you've got the cafe on the corner. Did I tell you about that, didn't I?
We talked about that, yes.
Yeah, and then you've got Briggs's. Yeah. They had a bakery as well, you know. Briggs's did. They had their own bakery.
And she said that she was going to have it done up.
And that was in the authorities, like.
Why don't she then? Because
they sold food and they had... There and then, but
she is having it done up or going to have it done up, and she wants to come back there today.
The baker in Briggs's those days in the 30s was named Chase, Bill Chase,
and getting a suitable bill. That's the last I heard.
Oh, yeah,
and
I only know when she told me this quite some time ago.
Next one, I didn't know, but there was a post office, which you know about, I expect, don't you? And then there was Lloyd's Bank, that was always there in the 30s.
That's still got the sign outside,
the rain going in, is it? You know the roof on King's Cross.
And then in Bell Yard, do you know Bell Yard? Well, that's opposite where John lives.
What they put on the top,
you know, where Bell Yard Cottage is.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name,
Coachman's Holt or something now, is that what you mean?
Now, what's the name of that? What's the name of that? You know,
Well, you're
in Bell Yard, there used to be a... Do you know what Bell Yard College is off you? Who obviously was in now? Up the top one of the two, there used to a bloke come up there, he used to cut hair.
Oh, yeah, Hand.
Hand, his name was.
You're talking about Bell Cottage, isn't it?
Yeah, Bell Cottage, you know, yeah.
Not Well Cottage.
That never Kirby lived in it, didn't he? One of them.
Well Cottage.
No, there is a Well Cottage, which is immediately opposite me.
Yeah.
And there's Bell Cottages, which is the next one, next pair of cottages along, which are joined the vine.
Right, next door, join the vine.
Yeah, and there used to be a hairdresser coming here in the 30s and cut Nipper's hair and that. He come up on the bus, like, his name was Hand, in the front room of Weston's house. To do it like
Westons?
Yeah.
There were Westons living there.
Do you remember the Westons? Alec Weston's mother lived there.
Can you remember Tony Weston's mother? Can you remember Tony Weston?
I can remember Tony Weston.
Yeah.
And well, Alec.
His mother lived there.
He was ever such a sport. She spoiled him so terrible.
Now, is there a David Weston? No.
No, that's Westron. Different family altogether.
He only used to come there Wednesdays, I think, and cut. You know, us kids had to go get our haircut on the way home, like, you know. But I didn't know how we had to pay for it. Like. And then I think the next one I remember, and there was, I expect Bob Bigley told you about his father used to do.
Yes, he must have done. You know, Mr.
Bigley
used to sit in the window.
Pleasant House. Bob Bigley's father used to do the hairdressing there.
Oh, did he?
Not hairdressing, make clothes.
But they didn't make it there. Not to lighter years. They did it at Green Lane to start with. Do you know, and they even had their own little buttons with their name on.
Did they?
Yeah, and I had some. I don't know where they've gone to.
Where are they gone to?
Just lost them. Bob Bigley told you all about you.
I've got to get back to him now. But I saw Bob very early on, which is probably just as well, because he's finding it quite tricky to remember some things today. But if I put that in front of him, he'd be able to go like that.
Yes,
because
his mind isn't quite so sharp. It's a shame.
But I probably need to go back to him, a bit like I need to come back to John. But
And then next one then was where you remember where Bantings had the air salon, that was a saddler's shop. In the 30s.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about Bakery Cottage now.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. Well, no, the Bakery Cottage is one at the back, isn't it? Where the bakery's ovens and that were. The front one was a...
Yep.
There'll be all sorts of papers that'll fall out of there.
Yeah. Bakery. It was a saddler's cottage, and the chap that worked in there, whether he owned it or not, was named Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Bert Davis. But whether he was the owner or not, you know, he used to repair saddles and things like that.
Well, it was in Marsh's shop.
And then the next one was Marsh's shop.
Yeah, but was that Marsh's shop all the time that you...
Yeah, all the time I was a kid, so it was always
what
Marsh.
What are we... Marsh.
Sorry, you're quite right. It was Saddler's Cottage.
Yeah, that's it.
That was also a fish shop at one time.
Yeah, it was Justin Miller. Yeah,
that's it, yeah. Failed.
Bakery Cottage was called Saddler's Cottage.
No, sorry. The premises that Peter was talking about, I said was Bakery Cottage, but I got it wrong. It was Saddler's Cottage.
Okay.
Yes, Peter said it's Saddler's Cottage, but John still thought it was, but it's Bakery Cottage at the back.
Beautiful bakery. I don't know about that. But there was some. I pulled them all the bakeries out in that area. It was beautiful in there. They had beautiful bricks in that area, all built around in the circles. When we made it into ace when I worked for Penn's.
I can never remember
anything about that being done. It must have been before my time, like, you know.
You know, when it must have been a bakery before Peter's time.
Yeah.
The bakery. Mm. This is what he said.
You talk about when you were working at Bantings.
Yeah, we pulled it all out.
But Brigitte had a hairdressing salon.
That was
a lot later.
Yeah, that it was done the same time, though, you know.
That was done at the same time.
I don't know, that was the front part, wasn't it?
When Brigitte had the hairdresser. She was the one at the front part, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
And the bakery cottage was at the back.
Yes.
And that's when Peter's on about when he pulled the bakery cottage, you know, because where they were round, that's it. And they were marvellous books in there.
Yeah.
As perfect as perfect. You think to yourself, well, how did they stay like that?
Yeah.
I said, you ought to have kept them.
John Richards.
John Richards.
John Richards?
Yes, lives in Green Lane in the barn.
No.
No.
No, I don't know where he lives.
No, you do know.
Oh, he may live up by the vineyard.
No, yes, he's a bit... He's still in the high street, but he was... His... Yes, by the vineyard. I'm trying to think of his wife's name.
Where did Ted...
And they had...
Ted Bailey?
Yeah, Ted Bailey's cottage.
Oh, Ted Bailey's cottage.
Yeah, I think that's
where John Richards lives, is it?
Well, I think so.
Oh, yes, Venner, yes, I do, Ben. That's up from... What do you call that, Peter? Where Ted Bailey lives, Ted... You know, where up...
Think of his name.
Private Road.
Eh?
Private Road.
No, you got towards the vineyard and it's...
Yeah, you know when the...
Oh, yeah,
Beryl and Ted lived there in the back
I don't know who lived in there now, I don't know.
Richards lived next door, but what do you call that place?
Don't know, I can't remember now. Oh, that was...
I can't think of his name, I wish I hadn't started the conversation now, because he was actually telling me, and he brought me a picture to the history group day... of what the house was like before, and you could actually look all the way up the vineyard. But he was talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, who lived in
clay ovens and things coming out of. He was talking about exactly what you've just said.
Oh, that one up the back lane there. Chris Turner used to live up right there, didn't he? When he retired, Chris Turner. Didn't...
Margaret and John Richards, one Hamlet cottage.
Yeah, that's
Hamlet.
It. You're right.
Hamlet,
yeah.
Hamlet House,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hamlet House,
and that right. Apparently had got all sorts of stuff in it.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
I don't know if they found it because we gutted it out. Banting Green gutted it, yeah.
Because that's when they made it into the two cottages, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
I've got to Marsh now, Peter.
Yeah, we've got to Marsh. They sold groceries, like, and they had a petition. One half was sweets and chocolates and that. And the other half was groceries, like, you know. That was Ben Marsh,
well, you
remember.
Them,
remember
right?
Ben Marsh.
Can you remember going in there?
Yeah,
I know, but when you go in there, you think, no.
And that was in Mrs. Marsh's family.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name was, though.
Oh, what was...
Who?
Mrs. Marsh's family.
What was Mrs. Marsh's maiden name?
What was Mrs. Marsh's...
Sawyer.
Eh?
Lived... No, wait a minute, I'll tell you what her name was. Stubbington. Ben Marsh's wife's name was Stubbington. They lived up the lane here, where the doctor lives. Mm. She lived up there. Ben Marsh's wife's name was Stubbington.
And I thought that that shop was in her family before Ben married.
Always Marsh's, and he married, and then he got caught up in the army, in the Air Force.
Air Force.
And she ran the shop.
She ran the shop.
Oh, no, she was very, very sorry running that.
They had a petition through the middle, and half was, sweets and chocolates and stuff like that. And that's the only place I saw in the windows there. There was imitation bars of chocolate, you know, in those days.
I remember those.
Yeah.
I do remember those.
Yeah, and we used kids. And the next one down was Freedom May's shop. Do you know Freedom May's?
Yeah.
Next to Bob Bigley.
Yeah, next to Bob Bigley.
I've got a photograph of that.
Yeah.
Outside the shop.
Yeah. And then there's lots, Ina Lotz. She obviously told her Ina Lotz, but
I didn't do the interview with Ina, but I've seen them. She's got a lot of photographs, which
lots of photographs.
Oh, loads of photographs she's got.
Yeah, and then I think that then if we go up Green Lane, there used to be a boot and shoe repair place there. Do you know that?
I've heard about that, yes.
Yeah, and her name, his name was Coppin, and he was trained to be repairs of boots and shoes and that, because he lost a leg in the First World War, like, you know, it was a rehabilitation thing, like, you know.
All right, yeah.
And was it, that's something else to do with that Australian trip, is it Coppin I-N or Coppin I, it is Coppin. I-N-G?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, it was because one of the nephews was a little bit older than me, but he died, though, you know. But a year older than me he would have been now, like, if he still lived.
Well, you knew Ken Coppin, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was his father.
Oh,
Yeah.
And they had this shop on the end, had this boot and shoe repair place on the end, like, you know, you stitch up, somebody slit a shoe or something, they stitched that up.
It's just this side of...
This side of...
You know where Benham's was, and then there's was the next house.
Now, Benham's Pear Tree Cottage.
Yeah, yeah. Coppings was the last one of the three cottages. Who lives there now? John Blake's wife.
No, next one to it.
Is it?
I think the house...
John Blake's wife lives in the top one, don't she?
She lives in the middle one.
Oh, no. Sorry, I don't know. It's the top one.
I think the house you're talking about has been rebuilt a long time ago, but it's called The Covers, I think.
Oh, is it? Yes, it might be, yeah.
But rebuilt?
Quite possibly.
Rebuilt? No, that house there was rebuilt with where the little house was on the front of the right on the roadside.
Yes. Where Coffin was?
No, Coffin lived in those line where... Where
Blake's cottage, I think, was one of them.
Blake's?
Wicket, the Covers, that is a newish house, look.
So we're looking at it.
Because that's where Martin Kill lives now.
Yeah, I know.
And then I do remember putting a letter into Wicket Cottage, but that is quite new, isn't it, that one?
I don't know where that place is, you know. The new
cottage that was built there.
The new cottage that's built there alongside the Copping shops. There was a cottage right on the roadside, right smack on the roadside.
Right opposite
the chapel was during the war, when the woman opened the window, a big oil lorry came and broke the window. Close it was to the door.
You're saying that Copping was Wicket Cottage. But there were three there, Peter.
Yeah,
three cottages there.
There was Coppings.
I don't know what name. There were three cottages there. Copping lived at the end, and then he had his workshop on the end of that there.
Was there a crook?
There was most probably was, yes, crook.
I can remember a Sherry Crook at
school. Yeah, that's it. There was,
Is she related to Terry Crook?
Sister.
She's sister to
him. Yeah, they were related to Coppin.
Her name's Gaimer now, I think.
Yes, now, funnily enough, only about within the year...
Did you married Bernard Gaimer, then?
No, I think so.
He died. What I was about to say, because, in fact, he got permission, is that the right word, there was space allocated to him in the churchyard, because the churchyard is basically full now.
Through
family history, he has got a space in the churchyard. So that's the only reason I know that name, because I know Terry.
Mm.
You know Terry.
Bernard. Well, Shirley Cook married Bernard. It was the three cottages there, but...
That new house is what you're thinking about. Is
that new house opposite the chapel...
The Coppers, yeah.
That's that one, is it?
Is that the one? Yeah, but that was a completely new house in there, wasn't it?
That hadn't been built all that many years, you know.
What was that old boy that lived there? It was a tin shed there, wasn't it?
There was a tin shed there.
A real house. Well, I didn't call it a real house, but then...
There was an old tin shed at the back of
Blackburn. And what was old boy's name that lived in there?
I don't know now. There was a house right on the roadside.
That's amazing.
When she opened the window, Harry Bray lived there, and his wife opened the window, and a lorry came along and knocked the bloody window out. How close it was to the door. The door used to open straight onto Green Lane. They pulled it down and built that new house in the back here. That's what happened there.
Well, that house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Ken Coppin, they built that, you know, when they was Coppin and Bailey or whatever they called herself.
Hamilton Builders,
yeah. And old Son of Nash lived next door here, done all the joinery in that for them, put a roof on for them, yeah.
Well, look, we haven't got you too confused, Pat.
No, I expect all we have. We're talking, we keep jumping on.
Yeah, you keep jumping.
Give me an excuse to come back. Yeah. Yes, got that now.
Yeah. Well, now, the only...
We're finished with the shops now, haven't we?
I think so. We've got Freedom of Mind, yeah, I think so.
We haven't got the shops any further up that way.
I don't think...
You're going to talk about Jim Hudson?
Well, if you want me to, yeah. I can tell you what he... Yeah.
Who's Jim Hudson?
Well, he was the Undertaker.
Snowdrop Cottage.
Undertaker.
Snowdrop Cottage.
Snowdrop Cottage.
Well, you can remember him, can't you?
Yeah. We took the land over from him, didn't we?
Well, of course you did.
And he used to...
So you knew quite a bit.
And he used to... his old father used to stand outside the gate in authorities with a big white beard hanging right down here. Maybe we used to call him Beaver. Well, I didn't realise that that's all blokes with beards called Beavers, isn't they? And I didn't know that till a few months ago when I found out reading something.
Yes, but come on,
yeah.
What about him?
Well, I don't know much about him. He didn't know. They took in two orphan children, Alf Beeston and his sister. And Alf Beeston used to, you know, work for them. They, you know, and
they just had the little.
Yeah, they used to do the milk the cows and that. Yeah. He was on the supply of the milk, but he was a joiner, an undertaker, and he was a joiner as well. Like, you know,
I was led to believe that they came here. The family,
yeah,
Jim's parents, presumably,
yeah,
with the Butler family at Berry Lodge House, and we're going back to. Sir Thomas Butler.
Yeah.
And they came from Kent, and he came as an estate maintenance man.
Yeah, he most probably did.
Did you? Have anybody ever told you we had a dentist in Amberlin? Well, we have. We did. And
right, how do you remember the dentist?
No, of course he wouldn't remember the dentist of 1933. I had some teeth out in there. And I'll tell you where it was, John. I bet nobody remembers this, only two of us. And I don't know what a dentist's name was, but it was the people that lived there was Hooker.
Hooker?
You can remember Mrs. Hooker, can't you? She was a lovely woman.
Yes, where it was...
Yes, I can tell you where it was.
Do you know...
Next door to Nigel Wilcox.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bower you Mead. Can remember. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Bower Mead is next to Nigel Wilcox, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, there was a dentist in there, come once a week. I had some teeth here when I was a kid, yeah. I don't know how much we paid. I can't remember. Would you just imagine that now? They would be hygienic, wouldn't they? And they'd have to have special...
Someone had a bit built on the back of that house for dental surgery, didn't they?
Pardon?
They had a bit built on the back of the house for a dental surgery.
No, not to my knowledge. It was in the kitchen. Well, it was like a kitchen. But I was very young. I can't remember, like, you know.
Oh my God!
Because where Nigel Wilcox is, was where what was the bloke went with Captain Scott?
Oh yes, Lashley Meadow.
He used to stop hang out when we come back from school. He used to come and, you know, stick over the gate and talk to us all, like, you know.
Did he?
Yeah, he was a very, you know, pleasant man. He's quite tubby, he was, like, you know, but. Yeah, he was.
Covered any blacksmith, to my knowledge.
Yeah, it's just I'll tell you a bit about it. Okay. So I got this down. Yeah.
I was just thinking we've done saddlers, but we haven't done.
Yeah, no, the other thing was.
I said, do you want a cup of tea?
That'd be nice, Betty, please.
Yes, I'm going to have a cup of tea. Would you like a cup
of
tea?
I'd love one. Thank you so much.
There was another undertaker, was Banting.
Oh, really?
Banting was an undertaker. And I used to do undertaking with him, like, you know, carry on when I was.
Did you make coffins up at the yard?
Yeah, Jack Nolan used to make most of them. Fred Banton used to knock them up in a couple of hours. Jack Nolan made the box up.
Yeah.
Us younger blokes used to have to saw the joint shape to bend the corners round.
Oh,
and then Jack Nolan made them. Fred Banton used to line them out, and he was good at it. Like, and I used to go and pick up the bodies. And one of the first ones I ever picked up was Bob Bigley's father. Well, I'd go up Petersfield for him, like, you know, and he used to, you know, old Fred Banton, you know, blew, like, he used to straighten them up and that, you know, he'd make them look very presentable, but I never done one for Hudson, like, you know, and I'd done several for Banton's, like, and we did one up Green Lane, and I wanted to go to football match at Fratton Park just after the war, and old Purvis was a doctor, and he had to give a test certificate, and old Fred Banton said, oh, let's get him downstairs, he said. He'd be all right. And he might have taken right back upstairs again. There,
oh, did he?
Old Dr. Purvis it was, yeah. And then...
Good stories coming out this afternoon, Pat.
Now, another, I can go on telling stories forever if you want to do, but I've got somebody else coming later on. Well, one of our sons comes round later, like Dave comes round, like, you know.
No, you tell us when to go and we'll push off.
No.
Come back another
day. Where's he come from, Peter, your son?
One been up this morning, says he's just come back from China. He's been dealing with this big fire rater, you know, them exploding cars and that.
Yeah.
And the other one, Lonnie, lives it. Then he comes here, he looks after us, like, you know, he's good to us, like one of them. He lives on his own. He's not married or nothing. Like, he just got big. He bought his biggest house. He said 3-bedroom house because he's going to sell it off and then buy a smaller one. So he got enough money to live on. He reckons.
That's a good idea.
And now
blacksmith
shop. There's three blacksmith shops in Amberlin in the 30s. There was Lots, one boy sold a Lots, but belonged to Lots, which is now the first one in. You know where Mrs. Elder used to live?
That wasn't a blacksmith shop, was it?
Yeah, that was a blacksmith shop.
Jim Watson had a car repair business.
Yeah, it was before that. In the 30s, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, all right, Peter.
Yeah, there was a blacksmith shop there. There was a blacksmith there in my time, come up on the bus to Portsmouth.
Oh, nothing to do with Harry Lott.
Yeah, it was Harry Lott, the first blacksmith shop, as I can't remember, was in Camp Lyne. Round the corner, looking up.
Yes,
but they pulled that down, and he had that built, Harry Lott did, this blacksmith shop, and this bloke's car. And it always annoyed me, because all the kids used to save cigarette cards. And this old blacksmith shop, he insisted that I go up to Freedom Maze and get him some fags, but he would have two packets of five, no cigarette cards in. But if I had a 10, I couldn't get the cigarette card off him. And it always annoyed me, but he wouldn't change.
Yeah.
Now, there was one there, and then there was another one on the Green Man Corner blacksmith shop. Never in use in my time, but it was there. All the bellows was there.
In the Green Man Corner?
Yeah, in the Green Man Corner. It was right on the pavement side. You could look through the windows, the old thing.
Which side of the road are you?
Yeah, we're next door to the Green Man's side.
The Green Man's side?
Yeah, do you know where Friends used to live?
Yes.
Yeah, it was in front of there. It's not yew tree is there, in front of there.
Mm.
That was our side of that. Yeah. There was one there, but it was never in use in my lifetime. Then the third one was up East Street.
Where
Bill Banting lived now.
Bill Banting built the house, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was in there. And the bloke's name there was Defer.
I think we've seen a photograph of that one.
Yeah, Defer, yes, right. I think the blacksmith's name was. Defer, I don't know how to spell it, mind you. I think it's French, sounds like French,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a three blacksmith shops. I don't know any.
White Gables, where I think.
Yes, I know where you are.
Yeah, that's only three blacksmith shops I know. That's only
because there must have been a lot of horses around in those days, and I thought it was all...
no, not very little. But they used to make ironwork and that, didn't they? And repair ploughs and things like that, didn't they?
Yeah. Gates, I suppose, and everything.
Gates. Mm. Yeah.
Fences for the posh houses and that sort of thing, all done in blacksmiths.
Yeah. Oh, Do you know anything? Have you know anything about? Have anybody told you about public houses?
Well, I my husband's getting involved in doing the tithe map from I can't remember 1890s, 1870s, and there's a lot of pubs. Seem to be eight pubs in.
Well, and it would never in the 30s there were four in operation. Now it was a Green Man. That was Cannons, the name of the people, the landlord.
Cannings.
Frank Cannings.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was the Vine Inn.
Mm-hmm.
That was only a beer race in the 30s. It's now full house now, you know. Mm. But I don't know when. In the name of that man in the 30s, the landlord was Roxburgh. Roxburgh.
Oh, Roxburgh.
Mm.
That's a well-known name. Roxburgh.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Yeah, and when he retired, he lived up, went up top of the hill there and lived, didn't he?
Up in Howe Street.
Mm, yeah. The next one up was the New Inn. This is only what was open in the 30s, like, you know.
But they were still open in the 50s.
What?
I can remember going to the Green Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah, but I was saying this is when...
Way back.
Oh, yeah, way yeah, back. Yeah, yeah. I thought you wanted the 30s.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's good, Peter.
Yeah, the...
New Inn.
The New Inn, the landlord was... what was that landlord? Ted Droy, the landlord was, but he was a senior one because the son took it on afterwards.
Good Ted, name for a pub owner, Droy.
Yeah, Ted Droy. Yeah, but and then the George.
Yeah.
In the 30s, was two blokes run it. One was Pierce. One bloke's name was Pierce, a big old man with a big tummy, you know. He was a chuck out man. He threw blokes out the door, like when they were drunk and that, like, you know. And the other one was Knight. The other partner was Knight.
And is he any relation to? Oh no, wrong person. Sorry.
So
those were the four.
That was the four. It was open, but.
What about? Was there one in High Street?
Yeah, there's one in the High Street called Red Lion. That was before I can remember.
Oh, okay.
Right? But that was halfway up on the right hand side, which was the billiard room in the 30s. Like
what we used to know as the Institute, I think.
Yeah, that's it, right. Yeah,
that's Tower House.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was
the Ginger
where
Ladies.
Serena.
And then there was another one up round in Church Lane called the Bricklayers, a pub. That was what Dad told me. Like, you know, my Dad told me that.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and that was in, you know, where old Richard Clark's mother lived, didn't you, out there?
No, I wouldn't know what number.
I don't know. A second one up on the right.
Which one did you live in?
Four on it. Yeah. Right. Second one up on the left. There was a passageway, and there was a little place in the back, and that was the pub. Little place. You had to go down the valley, and it was there. I can remember that. I can't remember it, but I know where it was. Like, you know, they pulled that down now. I think. And there was another. Where else was there one? There was one more somewhere.
Because a lot of them were just ale houses.
Yeah, that's what the wine was till they got a full license. Like, you know. Mm. Yeah, I don't know where there was anymore. I can't think of any. Yeah, there was another one somewhere. I just can't think where it was. What Dad's told me about, like, you know. Because there used to be a bakehouse up in before 30s, like, you know, but I mean, I couldn't remember.
Up in Church Lane?
No, up in High Street. Between Langtrees and
Cutbass,
there was a bike house out there, like, you know. But
I think I've seen a photograph.
Yeah, that's
that.
Right. They got
I think
it.
I have.
Yeah.
So well, your father, Peter, was he Hambledonian?
Yeah, born? Yeah. He was a baby of 14 kids. 14 children, I think. Well, he said 14, but we can only ever trace 12 of them. So whether they were stillborn babies or not, he added on to them, like, you know. But he was a baby, like, yeah.
Wow. So where in Hambledon was he?
Who lives up there now? You know where old Lady Empson used to live, up the back here?
Yes, Deepdale.
No. When she first came to Hambledon, of course, I'm talking about the 50s, when they used to live Green Man Corner, Mrs. Empson, and they lived in, you know, how can I describe, do you know where, the Green Man Corner, then there was those three colleges, then there was those races up the back looking up towards Spalter Mill, on the back. It was, you know, who lives out there now? I don't know who lives out there now. Like.
You're past Stella Peters now.
No. Green Man, going up, you know, there.
Is it called the cottage or something?
Yes, it might be called the cottage. There's a passageway just past the Green Man Corner on the right-hand side. You know them cottages at the back, don't you? You know where my uncle used to live, Sid Parvin, and you know where Bob Bigley used to live, don't you?
You're talking about poor houses. No, approach.
No, you're wrong. End of the village, just up the road here, Green Man Corner.
Up by the side of Bakery Cottage.
No, and farther up there. Go up East Street. Go up, start going up there. Thank you.
Do you want a bit of cake, biscuit?
What?
Wait,
we're
not
getting
him.
Good.
You've only got mugs,
so
wonderful. What about you?
Yeah, it's all right.
No, I've just given Dave mine, because he's just turned up.
Oh,
but
no.
Cake or biscuits? Do you want that?
Is that
that
your son?
Yeah.
Is that your son that's turned up? Yes, he just turned up.
That's why
he's gone down to see if the badger's got him.
Oh, no.
Poor
man.
Yeah, and no, you know, Mrs. Emerson, they, when they first moved to Amberlin, they lived up there. Do you know where my auntie and uncle used to live? In the corner there.
Who was your auntie and uncle?
Sid Carvin, Aunt Kate. No, I've gone for your time, I swear.
I don't know where you have sugar.
Or you're near Bumblebee Cottage.
I don't know these. The Green Man Corner, you turn in to go up to Amberlin. No, you go up Green Lane, turn it on. Just two yards up the road.
Yes, Deepdale.
Deepdale,
I said
it.
Deepdale to begin with.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, is it called...
But that's down by Whitedale, though.
No. Lady Empson lived at Whitedale.
Yeah.
After Deepdale.
She lived at Deepdale when she first came to Amberley.
Yeah, you're quite right, Peter.
She lived in Deepdale?
In Deepdale, yes.
What's Whitedale got to do with it?
Because she moved from Deepdale to Whitedale before she moved next door. Or next door but one.
I never knew that.
Now, if you want a piece of this, you can help yourself.
I'll just have a biscuit, Betty.
Before
thank you.
The
biscuit. Do you want
before...
a piece of this or biscuit? Or...
I'd love a piece of that. Just a real thin bit.
And
before the Langdons?
Sugar.
Before the Langdons had it?
No, not Whitedale House, Whitedale Farm. Opposite side of the road.
Of course. Yes.
Oh, you want a bigger bit than that?
Oh, no. You didn't see what I had for lunch.
What were we all about before that and what come up? Why did Mrs. Empson's name come up?
Why did Diana Empson's name come up? Oh, what a mess I'm making of that.
She's losing it a bit, though, isn't she, Mrs. Empson?
She is.
Yeah.
I saw her this morning, but she's still good company.
Oh, yeah.
I love her dog.
We'll get on with her. Yeah, we'll get on with her.
Can't remember what we were talking about, Peter.
No, start again.
Mm. Yeah, you were talking about pubs.
Yeah.
The last thing I've written down here is Peter's father was one of 14 children.
Oh, and that's what lived I was. Yeah, he lived up there when it was cottages. And his father was a road sweepman, but I never had a granddad or granddad on either side of my parents.
So we think he lived in Whitedale Farm?
No.
My dad was born in... Up there, what you call Deepfield, isn't it now?
It's called Deepdale now.
Deepdales, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's where he was born.
Oh.
The pianist lady lives up there.
No. Oh, Jackie, somebody Dixon. The pianist, did you say?
Organist.
Oh!
The church organist.
Oh, Sue Boddy.
Sue Boddy.
No,
but it was two cottages at that time, wasn't it?
Two cottages, yeah.
She had a fall, poor lady, in the garden. She's up now. Sue Boddy, who lives there, she fell down and cracked her head open. She went home and didn't think anything of it, and then her children said, you jolly well go and get that checked out.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So were you with Bantings most of your working life?
39 years I worked for him, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Help yourself, John.
Thank you very much.
They went into liquidation.
No, you're quite welcome.
And then I moved on. And I wish I'd have moved on years ago. I was better off when I moved from Bantings. Remember when I financially and, you know.
What you were talking about when you went to Pete Heather?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And what do you remember about your school days, Peter?
Not much. I wasn't a very good scholar. You know, that, anybody tells me Browning was a good man, don't tell me, because he was an awful man. He couldn't even treat his own children properly. I can tell you, he's a shooting...
Well, he treated his children worse than anybody.
Oh, he was... You know, all these people... But once they come round to me, they said, oh, would you... Mr Browning's retiring, would you like to give a donation? I told them no. I said, no. I told them straight away. I'm straight as a die. I didn't like the man. And he didn't... He frazzled Frank Blackman with a cane across his backside the day he was leaving school.
And he did that to watch McCook Kirby fight the knife out of me when he used to get the cane out.
Oh, he used to be awful. He used to ramp my head here with his knuckles like that.
Oh.
But all these people think he's a mother.
They're drumming it into a picture.
Yeah. The old trouble was, if you couldn't learn, he could have no time for you. If you could learn, he'd help you. Mm. But, you know, that's the wrong way about it, isn't it?
It doesn't always happen like that, does it? Yeah. So what age range was the school for in those days? Would it have taken you right the way through till you...
No, it stopped in 19... I was the first one to leave Amberlin School to go to Cape Line. You know, I had to do 2 years at Cape Line School. Now, it was about 1937, I think.
And when did you leave school, 14 or 15?
Well, 13, I think I left, because they closed the school for 6 months, didn't they? And then I had to go back again. I worked up Tom Parker's, they called me back, so I shouldn't do that.
What were you doing at Tom's?
Pardon?
What were you doing at Tom Parker's?
Oh, rock scared most of the time, getting rocked off the corn. But the only thing is, I wasn't a very good scholar, but I could lay bricks from the day I was 14 years old.
It came natural,
I could do it, you know. And Banting, Banting's during the war, did a lot of... building army camps and that, and nest nuts and army camps and that, and then because Banting had a guard, they'd sword at her, and the old quartermaster used to come round and say, here, I'm short, I'm looking for some latrines, they used to call them, toilets, wasn't it? They'd go, you haven't got anywhere. And we'd have taken them from your field about a week after, and Banting sold them back to them the next week. And they thought, because I was 14 or 15
you
years old.
You wouldn't know about it.
No, I wouldn't know about it. Well, I wasn't that silly, like.
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with your schooling then. You knew what was going on.
Yeah. Well, I was always in an A class when I went to Cape Lane School, but I didn't think I was a very good scholar.
Like, you obviously were. And apart from your football and cricket, what would you do after school?
After school, right. What we would do after school, mostly here, we'd go either play cricket out in the road here, put a cricket, draw some stumps on the ground, bowl up and down to each other on the road, no cars come down. And then we'd go down the bottom after school or weekend and take car numbers. That was a thing. It was always, you know, car numbers, like, you know, and get down there, and Bob Woods and them, they're all dead now, like, you know, they just live in the lane here and that. They get on a lay on the floor, and I hear a car coming. Wait to come, you know, all this rubbish, you know. But there was no cars or nothing. I can remember when Bury Lodge Lane was a track. I remember when it was first tarred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what other boys were there locally then? What? You mentioned Bob Woods, Henry Woods.
Yeah, there was...
Peter Knight, Frank Knight.
No, it was afterwards, but down in the 30s there was in this lane now, in the Thetch College where we buried it, there was a woman named Hall there. And she had a son, Tor, But he died when he was 16, I think, with TB them days, you know.
Oh, dear.
But he was another one who was with us. And they used to come down from Green Lane and that and play like down here, like in Cotton Wood.
Bob Woods and Henry Woods lived next door but one.
John
Boyle. No, they lived in the Thetch College at the end of the lane. Just pulled down now. They lived in the middle one, the last one up.
What, Cam's Hill?
Yeah, in Cam's House. So
they're up there, don't you? The
cottages. The cottages,
yeah. Yeah, no, the Thetch Colleges. They lived in the last one. Wallens lived in one.
Yes.
And Diamond Woods. Lived in... Wallens, wasn't it?
Wallens lived, yeah.
Wallens lived on the end.
Yeah, and then there was...
Woods?
No, Woods lived in the far end one. And the middle one was a Diamond that owned this, had this built.
Oh.
But I just think that's what...
And who lived in Ron Barrett's cottage then?
Mr. Phillips. Yeah, Mr. Phillips.
Ron Barrett. Yes, Ron Barrett.
Yeah. Phillips. He worked in the big house as a butler sort of thing.
What, Cam's House?
Yeah. Mm. They employed a lot of people, you know, Cam's House used to. Two gardeners.
Did they?
Quite a big house, isn't it?
Yeah, they had two gardeners.
All the gentry employed. They had two gardeners, and
the garden was just filled with a rough ground area, with allotments, like.
Yeah.
What was allotments? But it was a garden them days, like, you know.
It was a garden for Cam's house, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a garden, big house. There was two gardeners. They never used to go, and they come straight down there, and they'd sit down under the edge and have their food like that, and they dug it all by hand, like, you know, straight up. And then there was two men who worked in the house out there. Bloke named Phillips and a bloke named Wallace.
Wallace was for Captain Harvey.
Yeah, Wallen. And one other
Captain
one.
Harvey there.
I think it was five men in that worked in the house, the gardens, like out there. So they had a big income, they had a big payout.
Well, they did, they had a lot of trouble.
But they only paid pennies in those days, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that was it. That was it.
Things like your first car, Peter, and how did you travel around? If you needed to leave Hambledon,
often, but it was a Demi Queen then, a busser, it was called the Demi Queen. And that was owned by Tanners.
I can remember biking to Fulham a lot.
That was owned by Tanners.
And you leave your bike there, and it was still there when you come back. But it wouldn't be now.
And where would you pick that up from?
Oh, you no bus stop. Just put your hand in and get it on.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Okay. And that would you'd want to go to Denmead?
Yeah, it was right to Portsmouth. It was right to Portsmouth and back.
Oh, okay.
And
you would have heard about the Denmead Queen from others, wouldn't you?
Not yet. I haven't. I've heard about the bus depot here.
What, Safedown?
Southdown, bus.
Yeah. Denmead Queen was bought out by Safedown in the end. You know, they took over, like. Yeah, and they were owned by Tanners. Bill Tanner's mother and that owned it. Yeah. And they sold it. And I'll tell you where their depot, where Queen's, Denmead Queen depot was. Going from, you know, you can go from Denmead to the Chairmakers, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Along that road there.
On the left-hand side.
Yeah, on where those little few little bloke used to sell poles and that there, didn't he? And there were a few cottages on the right, on there.
Atlas cottages?
No. Not before you get there, there was that bit of woodland. That's where they were. In there they were.
All right.
That's where their depot was. No, I don't know.
Well, you had a bike. You could have go anywhere, and you could leave it in Portsmouth anywhere, and it's still there when you come back out.
No, it wouldn't be now, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
No, you're right.
Well, when we were married, we lived at Church Lane, and the thing is that we used to leave our bike outside, because not to take it through there.
Oh, there
and
was
it's
loads
always
in.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever did.
No.
Well, you never locked your doors then, anyway. But,
another thing... We used to go up to the cricket pitch and play cricket in the 30s.
Brookline.
Up there.
Okay,
Park and Turk Left.
Yeah, Turk Left. Got there, but we could get the key Now, there's a thing you wouldn't be able to do. Get the key from Chris Turner that lived in
Whitedale College. Whitedale Farm College.
Yeah, yeah. And return it at night. Yeah. Well, but and you could have. You could use the stuff out of one box, but not the other. And we kept to it, like, you know. Yeah. But you couldn't do that today, could you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was the pavilion then, Peter?
On the right-hand side when you're not there. Mm. On the right-hand side. Me and Ron Turner pulled it down. And some of them old tin sheds I got down the garden, it's the tin off the roof. It was ever so thick it was. And you bet borrowed your dad's van, milk van, to bring it down here for me.
Yeah, your dad was very good. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go out there and play out there, and I told another bloke who used to come play down here with us. It was Ernie Sanders.
You know Ernie Sanders, don't you?
Ernie Sanders.
Gene Astin.
Sanders pool tables.
Yeah, that's it.
And Gene's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah.
Lives next to the chapel in Green Lane.
In the paddocks.
Yeah,
that's right. Because they got loads of...
They came to the history meeting on the 25th with all their albums.
I know, they got lovely.
There are some amazing photographs.
Yeah. Ernie Sanders was... Then they moved up to Old Cross, look, when they moved to Amberlin. He's not Amberlin, look, Ernie Sanders, not. Mm. He was born in Steep. And he came here as a boy, like, you know, his father got killed, one killed, but he was gassed in the First World War, like, Ernie Sanders' father.
So he died.
Died afterwards, like, you know. But he was a decent... Ernie Sanders is a decent bloke when you get to know him.
And I'll tell you, his mother was ever so good. The thing is, this, do you know what? Like, she had two sons. You can't remember them, can you? No, you wouldn't. The thing is this, but they had one pair of boots between the two of them. That's honest, because she never had the money, because where her husband died, and the thing is, but he used to go up there and that, and they used to jump on the beds, right?
And wrestle on the beds and all that.
Yeah, and that she was ever so good, but let not do anything that Ernie will tell you now, because
Ernie
said to me quite recently, she said, did you know about him jumping? I said, yes, I know about him jumping on those beds. She was ever so but of course,
Gene Astin's an Amberlin person. Gene Astin was born in Amberlin.
That's
Gene Sanders.
Gene Sanders.
Yeah. She was born in Amberlin.
Her name was Astin, look.
Yeah, she's a little bit older than me, 6 months older than me.
Her father's name was Vernon.
Yeah, Vern Astin, yeah. They lived in the...
By Rose Cross?
No.
No?
No, they lived in those cottages by the Green Man Corner. You know where old Sylvia Ashwood lived?
Yep.
They were that bloke that died, just died. You know, up there, up that passage up there. They lived in the
They just got the passage. They lived in the
second one up on
Thatcher.
The left.
That's
where she would live. Yeah, right.
Trying to think of his name. It was Sylvia Thatcher, and who was the gentleman she lived with?
Derek Chamberlain.
Derek Chamberlain. Yeah. He's just died.
A naval officer, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah, Peter's saying up the... alley to the side.
That's
where she lived as when her father was about.
Because can you remember, Ina Hooker lived up that alley. Can you remember Ina Hooker?
Ina Hooker, yes. Yeah.
Gosh, well, we must go, because you've got your son here now. That's not fair. We mustn't leave him out in the garden.
I've got one or two other things written down here.
No.
Might interest you a bit.
Lead you astray a little bit and tell us about Old Licker.
Oh, Uncle Edgar. Well,
who?
Uncle Edgar. Well, Edgar Horn was my uncle.
Who?
Horn.
Alec Horn.
No.
I used to show sheep with Alec Horn.
Yeah.
Edgar Horn.
A different family.
Not even the same family.
Well, not a little bit relating, but nothing much. Edgar Horn.
Edgar.
He married my mum's sister.
So that's lovely.
Right,
thank you very much, Betty.
He married my mum's sister.
He
was a pilot during the Second World War in Fleet Air Arm.
Mm-hmm.
But during the 30s, he designed an aeroplane. He did a blueprint for an aeroplane. Bill Abnett was sort of, I don't know what he did, but he was a little bit of everything, money.
Sort of a Cartwright, wasn't he?
Yeah. But anyway, he lived at, what's the name of that farm?
Book Farm,
when it was a workshops and that.
This is Bill. What's his surname?
Bill Abinett.
And Fred Banting was a carpenter, a joiner, and they three together built this plane, and they put into it a Rover engine, a car, and wheels and all on, and they built it all up, and they got it all built up, and they was taxing it, round the field, ready, they was going to take off with it. And the local policeman was Spreadbury, I think his name was. I'm not sure about this, so don't take me wrong. I can't remember the policeman's name. He went out there and put a block on it. So they had to dismantle it all. Yeah, but that was aviation. He could have well been the start of something big, couldn't it?
Could have been, or he could have killed himself.
Yeah, he could have killed us. Anyway.
He was very clever then.
He was a very clever man, everyone, but he was as silly as a brush.
But he was very clever.
That often goes together, though, sometimes, doesn't it? People are really clever. Yes. Sometimes don't have other skills.
No practical skills whatsoever, did he? No. What happened? They dismantled it and they took it down into Banting's yard, and they stacked it over top the old, all the wings and that was stacked up over top the workshop in the old, not the one that's there now, but it stayed there. And what happened to it, I don't know.
How many people would have been able to go in it?
Pardon?
How many people would have been able to fly it, assuming they'd ever got off the ground?
I don't know. Probably Edgar Horn, if anybody would be flying it, you know.
He was a bit of an eccentric, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was very clever, though. I mean, they reckon, I've never heard this, I've heard this from somewhere, that they needed a part for a boat somewhere down in South Africa, and he could get it from Sweden. And I think it was Sweden or Finland, and he flew this plane to Sweden, and got this part, you know, and flew it single-handed down into South Africa, keep landing all the way down, and he landed first in Portugal, I think, Spain, and that, and delivered it. Yeah, but don't put that down for goodness sake, because that's the story I've heard. But I've never no official. He was so. So,
what about his planning permission for an underground garage then?
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what the thing is.
Nothing new, is there? There's nothing new. That's what they're doing in London, isn't it now? Underground garage.
Yeah.
He lived in Annesus Mead.
Oh, yes. That's
next door to Nigel. I think.
Yeah. But before that, they lived in Holmesdale. They was brought. He was.
You know Holmesdale, don't you? Opposite the Vine.
Who lives there now? The bloke who's lived up Cam's house.
That's called Vine Cottage now.
Is it?
Eh?
Is it? Yeah.
You're talking about Fossett's?
Fossett. They own that lock.
Oh, did they?
Mm. Yeah, they sold it and they moved over there. I think they paid £6,000 Annesus Mead, yeah. Yeah.
Apparently had planning permission for an underground garage, but didn't ever build it.
Yeah. Oh, he
didn't have a car, did he, towards the end?
No, he never had it. He did when I was a young nipper. He had a three-wheeler, and he was taking me out round for a ride. Mum said, "You go careful." You know, he was mad. But he was clever. Yeah.
Can you remember your first car?
My first car, standard, yeah.
Oh.
Standard 8. It'd be worth a bit now, wouldn't it? Yeah. First one we had, wasn't it? Bought it from a bloke up Green Line, didn't we? For £80 or something, didn't we? couldn't afford a car for years, could we? We didn't have a car for years and years.
They were good days, I remember them.
Well, we had a bike, and that's
everything I said. I'm not quite accurate, son, but mostly what I told you is the truth. It is the truth, but what I know about it, Well, and Jessie, you said, what
I've
we do?
I've something where you said at that farm where they've got all that details now of what they are to eat.
Can you get any of this off the internet?
I'll bring you a photograph of it because I was so amazed.
No. I'm amazed.
Do you use a computer?
And I was amazed when I see them. Yeah. The cows all go.
We don't. We haven't got a computer.
And I thought,
we want to know anything. We get on the nipples look that.
But that I saw on the television. But when I hear local, I think, well, amazing.
But the funny thing was that when we did that history day, I think I did pop a little one through a card through your door actually on the 25th of September. It's 50 years that the history group's been going at the Art Society, so we thought we'd have a day to celebrate. And looking back to, I think it was before my time, but I think in the millennium they did another exhibition in the village hall of shops and everything else. And I just remember this photograph that was taken of a state-of-the-art milking parlour at the Sylvester's. And there's this picture and a very proud gentleman standing in front of it. And then when I went up to see Sue...
Do you know him?
That whole milking parlour is all
she's
rusty.
She's a nice lady to talk,
and all fallen apart.
I know.
And now this one is really the state
we know
of the
next generation as well.
4 years. Yeah. It's unbelievable. That,
mind you, isn't it fantastic? Life has changed in our life.
Did you go over to Rowan's today?
Everything.
Did you ever?
No. I just can't.
Liz was at the boat, she went,
food,
she was helping
eat.
Them. Yeah. Look, I didn't go over there.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Well,
very clever.
Do you normally go to that one?
It is unbelievable.
Well, we didn't go up because we had so many people coming to see us, because Beth had the cancer and we were going to go up, but we didn't.
This is extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, we didn't stop you going.
No.
To Rowan's.
No, we didn't go in the end because we had a John coming this morning.
Well, no, but anyway.
He just come back from China.
I was going. Yeah. I said, oh, yes, I've gone up to the Rowan's. Linda phoned up and said, oh, is it all right if we can bring the two little boys up to see you?
No.
I thought, oh, right. Then he said, well, no, 1:30. And I thought, well, no, if I go up late, no, I shan't be back here. And that'll be rude.
I'll just tell you one more story before I go.
So I said, why didn't you
one
say
more story.
Yes, you come late?
This is the last one.
And I thought perhaps that's where you've gone.
Up in Banting's Yard, when I was a young man, in the war, there were seven coffins stored up there. What they were for, I don't know. But they was only just made of cardboard. And I think it was because if there was a major incident, you'd have somewhere to put the bodies. That's what I worked out the day. But what happened to them, I don't know. What happened to them, I don't know. Probably got broke up in that. And how they got up there, I don't know.
Well,
thank you so much for your time.
I'm pretty sure you have got photographs knocking around somewhere, have you?
Oh, we have somewhere, we got so much junk up in there at Roost Race, it's unbelievable.
When I go across there, I'll pinch a menu and drop three letterbox.
Well, bless you, Would they be mostly cricket and sport pictures or family pictures,
do you think?
So she goes all the way around.
I've got a photo of all the school kids in 1933 out there.
That would be in the week, you know.
Somewhere, I don't know where it's going to. Because the bloke next door, Dave Webb, do you know him? Do you know Dave, do you?
I do. Very nice gentleman.
Yeah, he is. He's very clever and tall photographer. If he gets a damaged one, he can build it up, to make it right. Yes. I don't know how he does it right.
But that was how I met him.
Did you?
Because he has got a lot of skill. He's also very interested in the old punt postcards.
Yes, Amberton postcards, yeah. So does the bloke next door collects them as well.
Knight.
His name's Knight, but they're not friendly. They're not friendly. We don't speak to them for weeks and weeks. And those, never, nothing wrong, but no, he's in here to see if we're all right. His wife's nice too. Everything's nice.
She walks Diana's dog, doesn't she?
Yeah, but that's wonderful. I know. Doyle and
them since they moved when they lived up the car. They used to call it the garden when I was in. That's the word. The garden when I was never on. And her husband was a nice bloke, you know. I know he went wrong, like, but he was a very nice bloke. And he used to say to me, I got just as much respect for a man doing a job like
she and a couple of her neighbours.
Because I used to do odd jobs for
them
when they lived up there, like, take the race over and that, like, not for a bit of extra money, like, you know.
She said, well, what's it like?
He always said, he was going to a meeting, right? And the bloke would come up and pick him up with a car, you know, being a chauffeur, a sailor. And he used to speak to him as if he was an ordinary bloke, like, you know. He
has worked in some big.
But he was always all right to me, like, he was a very nice bloke, like.
In the past.
Yeah.
When I went to work and then of course I got to the other company when after Bandy went into liquidation.
What was the name of the company after Bantings?
It was called Cardenway. It's not trading now, you know.
Carnway.
Cardenway.
Cardenway.
Yeah, no, it's not trading now.
If you can get me one if you're going over there.
And then you retired from there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I
65 I retired. Like.
To me. We haven't got to go anywhere.
Yeah,
you can
I'm 89
come over and
now.
Stand up, Grace, you know, walk down from
amazing.
Here. I can walk up from here, and that'll be fine.
Yeah. But if you want to come in and talk to us again, John.
Oh, sorry, we're taking too much of your time.
No, it's your time.
But I got some more things down here, but. You know, I don't want to talk no more today because I want to see Dave. Like,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. No, you should. Thank you so much for everything you've done. It's been a very exciting.
You know, some things people might disagree with, but that's how I see it all. You know.
Well, that's the important thing, isn't it?
Yeah.